But we're going to be reading Revelation out loud every week. And so that's what we're going to be doing here. And each week, I'll have some questions which we'll discuss as a group, as a body. And then I'll bring a message, and we'll read Revelation out loud. And we'll have some further videos, things you can do online. We'll post those on our website and also our Facebook page and Instagram page during the week. There'll be some YouTube videos you can dive further in to some teachings on Revelation by Dr. Shane Wood. He's down at Ozark Christian College down in Missouri. And anyhow, there's a handout with that, and we'll have that available for you, either printed and or PDF version online. You can go through. But this series on Revelation is all about a witness. And let me talk about a witness. And I want to start off this: why do we gather? What is the intended purpose of us gathering? Why are we're enjoying fellowship? We're eating together. We're hanging out. We're discussing the Word of God. How God's Word has changed us. What is the purpose about that? What's the purpose in gathering? The purpose of gathering as a church is to give a witness to the world that our lives have been transformed by Jesus. All right, my life. Raise your hand if your life's been transformed. We're transformed. We're not perfect, right? We won't see perfection until we see Jesus. Day by day, God's transforming us to be more like His Son, Jesus. But when we gather, we get to witness to the world, and we witness against the darkness, the forces of darkness, that our lives have been redeemed by the King, and that Jesus is the faithful and true witness. And on your screen here, here's a few verses out of this first chapter. We're gonna in Revelation. You're going to hear this word witness, but I want to just highlight a few words. It says, "This God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses." In Acts 2:32, the apostles were talking about. They saw Jesus rose from the dead, and they are witnesses of that. In Acts 3, they go on to say, they were telling to the Pharisees, "And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses." In Acts 5, it goes on to say, the God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to those things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. In Revelation 1:2, it says, John, he says, who bore witness to the words of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. And then it goes on, a couple more verses here. Let me get to the next slide here. There it goes. In Revelation 1:5, it goes on to say, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. In Revelation 3:14, it says, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. They're referring to Jesus. And lastly, in Romans here in 3:16, it says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Amen. But you have received the spirit of adoptions as sons and daughters, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Amen. Today, when we gather and during this series, we're here to bear witness that Jesus is faithful and true, and that he's coming back. And that when we gather, we say, we have been transformed. That day by day, God is working in our lives to redeem us and to call us by name, to make us more like him. And that is why we gather. We testify to Sioux City. We testify to the West Side, to your marriage, to your relationship, to your friends, your family, that you've been transformed, and that we're witnesses to God and his mighty power. And so I want to ask this: what is Revelation all about? You know, some of us come with maybe a little trepidation, or maybe you come with maybe, I just don't know, what is Revelation about? How many of you have read the book of Revelation completely? Okay. How many of you have never read the book of Revelation in its entirety? It's okay. There's no shame. Raise your hand. Or half. That's okay. Perfect. So you might be thinking, well, what is Revelation all about? Well, when you first read it, or if you think about it, or if you see it in the movies, you might think it's about deception and death and destruction. And my answer to that is yes, it's all three of those things, and which we'll talk about over the series. But it's also about redemption, restoration, and vindication by the Lord Almighty. And so it's all of these things together. And one mighty letter, prophetic letter, through the Spirit, through the Apostle John, written to us. And all these years later, it still is appropriate. Now, at times, Revelation can be scary. You've got beasts, you've got animals, you've got weird locusts that look, you know, just coming out of the abyss. And these locusts are like angry and, you know, or hangry, and they're just mean. And you have all these weird things, you know. You've got beasts with 10 horns and 7 horns. You see lampstands and stars. And you're like, Pastor Dan, what is all this? It's a witness to Jesus' plan for our life and for all of his creation and for the end of time. And we're going to dive into this and go through this. But even with all these things, with death and destruction and deception, redemption, restoration, vindication. It's all about the testimony and witness of Jesus. Revelation can be summed up as it's Jesus. It's all about Jesus, right? Sometimes we want to make it harder than it is, but it's all about Jesus and that he's faithful and true, that he is the Lord Christ, the one and only, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the faithful witness, the Alpha and Omega, who was, who is, and is to come. That is Revelation. It's all about Jesus. It points to him. So it's not scary, and I want to encourage you today, don't be scared about it. Don't come into it like, oh, I don't know. But it's going to, as we go through it, you're going to see the beauty and the strength, the mighty warrior. You're going to see the warrior poet, if I can use that term, of who Jesus is, that he's the mighty one, but he's also the redeemer of our souls. And so our theme for this series is to the king and to the restoration. That's our theme for this series, to the king and to the restoration, because that's what Revelation is all about. It starts with the king, it ends with the king, and it shows the king's redemption all the way through the book to the very end, how he redeems us. And we meet him, and there's a new heavens and the new earth, and we have our new earthly bodies, amen, right? All the aches and pains are going to be gone. We're going to see him. And fear and loneliness, all that will drift off, and we'll know what perfect love is. And so that's what I'm encouraging with us, that this series is to witness the power of Jesus in your life, in your marriage, in your schooling, in your job, in your home, in your neighborhood. It is to witness the mighty power of Jesus. And so with that, we're gonna read Scripture. We're going to read Revelations 1 through 5, and I've asked some readers to read for us here. But our verse we're going to highlight every week is this, Revelation 1:3. John writes, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near." That's right. The time is near, church. And so we're going to read Scripture out loud. All right, this is what the ancients would have done when the letters would pass out. They would have sat and they would have read the letters out loud to everyone. So we're going to read starting Revelation chapter 1. So turn with me in your books. Are you still good, Ginger, to read chapter 1? Or do you still want to or not? Okay. All right, we're going to read chapter 1 through 5. So turn in your Bibles or on your, or if you got it, what's that? No, chapter 1. Yeah, just chapter 1. We're going to read chapters 1 through 5 today. 1 through 5. So turn, if you got a Bible, or it won't be on your screen, but go ahead and turn in your Bibles, or if you've got your Bible app or your tablet, and let's read. Go ahead, Ginger.
To his servants, the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angels to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. Greeting to the seven churches. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Vision of the Son of Man. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Christ Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamon and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands one, like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire, his feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Mm-hmm. I have the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, the things that you have seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches.
All right, chapter 2.
To the church of Ephesus. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear it with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet this you have. You hate the works of Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He also has an ear. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. To the church of Smyrna, and to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the words of the first and the last who died and came to life. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into the prison, that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death. I will give you the crown of life. He who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. To the church of Pergamum, and to the angel of the church of Pergamum, write the words of him who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, yet you hold fast my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, so that they might eat food sacrificed to angels and practice sexual immorality. So also you have some who hold the teaching of Nicolaitans. Therefore repent. If not, I will come to you soon and war against with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give of him the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. To the church of Thyatira, and to the angel of the church of Thyatira, the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love, and faith, and service, and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immoralities. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation unless you repent of her works, and I will strike her children dead. And all the church will show that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. But to the rest of you at Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. As when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Chapter 3.
To the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds, your reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Wake up, strengthen what remains is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the keys of David. What he opens, no one can shut. When he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are a synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet, acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is coming upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on his name the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and I do not need anything.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that maybe you may become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches."
Chapter 4.
The throne in heaven. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These were the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle.
Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with all eyes, with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being."
All right, and chapter 5. Says chapter 5, "Then I saw on the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, 'Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals.' And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.' Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands upon thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down in worship." And all of us together, we say amen as well. Amen and amen. So here's what we're going to do. Can I have a couple of my youth here? Ben and Ella, Jordan, come up here real quick. You want me to pass out? I've got some more questions. They're going to be on your screen. We're going to take a few moments and just go through some of these questions for each table. So go ahead and pass those out. And they'll be on the screen as well. So it should be enough for two per table. But go ahead and at your tables, discuss these questions. That'll be on the handout here. We're going to take about 10 minutes and discuss these and allow us to apply the Word of God to our lives of what we've heard. I want to encourage us, these questions are conversation starters. You can continue on after church with these conversation starters. Or people at your workplace, take some of these questions home and have them read Revelation. You can talk to them with them. And so I hope that at each of your tables, you're learning about one another and hearing the Holy Spirit speak and confirm God's word about what's he doing in each of our lives. As we get ready to close in this, and I have a song we're going to do, but I just want to highlight a couple things. Over this next month and into December, we're going to be going through Revelation, but today's beginning focus with some of our questions is about your view. Why is it important to have a proper view of who Jesus is? It's very important for a few reasons, and let me just quickly dive into that. As we're reading here, John opens up. John is writing to a church that's in crisis. The Roman Empire is clamping down. Christians are being persecuted. And the church is in crisis, yet the world around him doesn't perceive the crisis. They don't perceive what's going on around them. There's two key verses I just want to highlight just today, and we're going to be going through in the series. We're going to be diving deeper into some of the topics you might, want to talk about what are the seven lampstands, what's the beast, all these different things. We're going to go through a lot of this stuff. But just today, as we kick off our series, I want to highlight two verses. Turn with me to chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. And in that same chapter, verses 12 through 18. just briefly here. As you look at chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, John writes, he says, "Grace and peace to you from him who is and was and is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of earth." He says, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierce him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. John was a witness. John was the initial witness. He saw Jesus in living color in the beginning through his ministry. Jesus died, rose again, and ascended to heaven. And then in the book of Revelation here, John is seeing Jesus again. He's encountering Christ again, and he's testifying to the witness that he's seen this Jesus who they gave their lives for, testifying to him and telling him, here's what is going to come. John was a part of giving to us, to the power of the Spirit, this final countdown, this final timeline and testimony of who Jesus is. Now, we know Jesus was resurrected, and we know that over 500 people testified to him and saw him. And they testified to this, that Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, and all the issues that plagued creation since the beginning. At Jesus' resurrection, we know that we were set free. There was a path to redemption back to the Father. But Jesus also had planned a wedding feast for his church to be reunited with him. And Revelation is that blessed hope. The letter of Revelation to us is the game plan, the format, the coach's plan of that end time wedding feast, of how we're going to see Jesus. How is he going to come back? How is he going to make all things right? How is he going to vindicate all the people that have been martyred for Jesus' name? Of all the things that have happened to us in the name of Jesus by those that hate his name, how is Jesus going to make things right? How is he going to restore everything? The beginning of Revelation bears witness that Jesus is the faithful witness. He's the firstborn of the dead. It goes on over in verse 12. Turn with me over to verse 12 here, and you'll see some of this on your screen as well, some of these names. It says, John says, "Then I turned and to see the voice that was speaking to me." This is Jesus. "And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man." Remember, that's coming from the book of Daniel. "He was clothed in a long robe and with a golden sash across his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in the furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand, he held the seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength." Wow. That is a vivid image of Jesus. John is writing back too with the book of Daniel, but also later on, also in Ezekiel and Isaiah, the image of what would the Messiah look like? What would he be? And on your screen here, you're going to see some names here. Who is Jesus? Revelation begins, it starts off with the right picture of Jesus. Isn't it interesting how Revelation 1 doesn't start with, well, here's the game plan. Here's what the beast means. Here's what this means. It starts with, who is Jesus? And I want to submit to each one of us today, we must always start our day with, who is Jesus? And we must live our life by, who is Jesus? Not, who is the Antichrist? Or, you know, or is America going to go kaput? No. We must start our day and live our life about, who is Jesus? And John starts with this. He says, he's the faithful witness. He's the firstborn of the dead to come back from death. He was the ruler of the kings on earth. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the Lord God who is and who was and is to come. He's the Almighty. Jesus says, I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I'm the holder of the keys to death and to Hades. So why is it important to have a proper view of Jesus? Because if you don't have a proper view of Jesus, you're going to look at Revelation in our lives and you're going to be scared. You're going to try to put all the effort on ourselves and try to, you're going to try to figure out Revelation. Have you ever met someone that's a believer that tries to figure out Revelation, that somehow if I figure out Revelation, it's going to bring me security? Can I tell you right now, church, it will not bring you security, only Jesus and who he is in your life. You got to have the right picture of who he is, and is that picture living and active in your life? And I'm preaching that to myself today, too. What is my view of Jesus, and who is he? Well, the first 18 verses of Revelation give us the picture of who the faithful witness is. This is Jesus who came back to life, and he's true, and he's the first and the last, and no one outlasts him. Our blessed hope is in the faithful and powerful witness of Jesus. Our doctrine within the Assemblies of God, as you read today earlier, was about the blessed hope. Now, isn't it interesting, the blessed hope? It didn't say the blessed hope isn't a good church service. It didn't say we have the best Casey's pizza up here every Sunday for church. The blessed hope is what? The imminent return of Jesus, that we will be with him. That is the blessed hope. In Revelation, if I could sum up Revelation, it is to the king and he's coming back to restore us. That's it. That's the hope. That's the whole game. Now you think, well, Pastor Dan, that's simplifying. Well, yes, it is simplifying Revelation. There's more to it. And like I said, we'll dive into Revelation. But that's really the big picture. And I want to encourage us today, we have to have a big picture of life and who gave us this life and why does Jesus give us this life in him and to follow him and testify and be a witness to him. If we have the wrong view of Revelation, we will treat it as scary and we will be filled with fear. Have you ever met a disciple that's full of fear because of Revelation? I've met plenty of people that say, Pastor Dan, I'm scared of Revelation. I don't even want to read it. And I've been following Jesus for 30 years. What? You don't want to read his word? I'm just scared of it. I don't want to deal with it. Church, I would submit to you, their view of Jesus was not right. It was not in its proper image. Because when we see Jesus for who he is fully love. He's for us, not against us. In John 14, 1 through 3, he says, let your hearts not be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If that were not so, would I have not told you that I would go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Once again, the right view of Jesus brings security. The wrong view brings fear and death and workspace on us. And in starting off, John, of all the things he could have said and all the things Jesus could have told him to write, Jesus gave to the church that was experiencing persecution and hardship. He said, give them a view of who I am. And how many of you know when you have the right view of Jesus, you can go through hell and high water, right? No matter what comes your way at work, in your life, a physical sickness, something going on in your family, you can go through it because you have a proper view of Jesus. And that is what I want to start with, our foundation of Revelation. It's not all the boogeyman and all these secret things. It is, who's Jesus? When we say to the king, we say to this king. The one's the Alpha and Omega, the all-powerful one, the Almighty, period, end of story. That is the view that we must have of Jesus as we start our Revelation series. And so with that, we're gonna put a song on here. It's a new song. It's a new song for us. It's been out for a couple of years. But anyhow, I'm going to encourage you to listen to it, and you can worship, sing along. You may have heard it. It was texted out yesterday in our Crosspoint text, but it's a song called Jesus, You're Beautiful, by John Thorlow, and I just want you can worship, you can just sit there and think about it if you want to, but go ahead, Ron, and play that song here.
None like you, like you.
You're beautiful. Amen. The right view of Jesus is all that we need. He's beautiful. Ron, if you'll put that slide back up for me, the slideshow. That voice sounds like many waters. That picture is a hit. If you've been next to a river, you know that the closer you get to a river, everything else drowns out. If you've been by a mighty rushing river, when you get to the river, all you can hear is the river. That's it. That's the word picture of what, when it says in Scripture, his voice, his presence is like the mighty waters. It sounds like waters. The right view of Jesus will drown out everything else. All the fears, all the worries, all the concerns, it drowns it out. His voice guides you to himself. As always, I wanted to promise that every week we would give a gospel presentation during this series, because I think it's a right, we have to remind ourselves that Jesus is the faithful witness. And so here, turn with me to Romans chapter 3 here. And many of you probably know these verses, but it's always good to go through and remind ourselves, what is the gospel? What was this faithful witness of Jesus? If you're here today and you don't know Christ, or maybe you kind of know, but you're not all in for him, I would encourage you that he is the beautiful one, that his eyes burn like fire, and his voice will draw you to him. In Romans 3:23, it says, let me get there myself. It says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Then over in Romans 6:23, it reminds us. It says, for the wages of sin are death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then turn over to Romans 5:8, and it says, let me get there myself. It says, but this God shows love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you're here today, you don't have to be perfect to know Jesus. He died for you even when we were imperfect and when we were in sin. And then go over to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 8 and 9, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no man can boast. Now, let me read verse 10 too. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God wants you to know his son. He wants you to be close to him, to be reconciled. And then back to Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. One of my favorite verses. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, and it says, but if we confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. We must believe with our heart and with our mouth. And so with that, let's just take a moment here. Just bow your heads with me. Let me just take a moment just to reflect on what we heard and on the faithful witness of Jesus. Father, we end today and we say thank you that you are the faithful one. You're the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You're the one that is true and holy, the Almighty, the one who is and was and is to come. We say thank you that Jesus, that you came for us, that you redeemed us, and that you went to prepare a place for us, and that you said you would come back to us, and that your testimony is true, and that you're faithful to your words. We just say we love you, and we're thankful that your love drives out all fear and helps us see you correctly and rightly. And so right now, just, if you need Jesus, I just want to present, if you need Jesus, just go ahead and raise your hand. If you need Jesus, if not, it's okay. But if you need Jesus today, if you've not met Jesus, the Savior, if you've not heard his voice, just raise your hand if you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Make him the Lord of your life. Okay. All right. God, I say thank you that everyone here today, God, knows you. And God, they're trying to walk out their salvation and live out their salvation in you. Father, we just pray today as we begin this new series that we would see you in every scripture verse of Revelation. May we see that you are faithful and true, that you have a plan, that we are not orphans. You've not abandoned us, but you are redeeming all people to you, and that, God, you are coming back for us soon, that the time is near. And then, God, we just praise you for your mighty works, and we praise you that you will vindicate and restore and redeem. And we just bless you, Jesus, your holy name. And I just ask that, God, as we go out today, may we see you in new ways today. To every man, woman, boy, and girl, all the boys and girls in Kids Point, all the kids in nursery, may they see you, Jesus. May they see you as the mighty one, that your hair is white as wool, your eyes are like fire, your voice is like the sounding waters. Jesus, I pray that you would draw the kids to you, draw our kids, our nieces and nephews, our grandkids, God, our grown children to you, God. We pray that even us and us grown adults, that we would listen to you, and we follow you, and we would see you, Jesus, that you are the mighty one, that you are the warrior of God, but you're also the closest of friend, closer than a brother, that you're the one that is gentle and kind and forgiving to 1,000 generations. God, we marvel at who you are and the complexity, yet the simplicity that you are our Savior. And we just bless your holy name, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. And amen.